If you would, turn your Bibles to the book of the Revelation, the last book in your Bible. That'll be the one right before the maps, amen? Revelation chapter number 3. If you get to a map, you went too far. Just back up a little bit, amen? Revelation chapter number 3. You glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord gives us what we need to make it up the next hill in life, amen? Life is full of hills and it's full of valleys. Mountaintops are wonderful, but there ain't but one way to get there. Amen. You got to go through the valley to get to the top of the mountain. Amen. And those mountaintops make all the valleys worth the journey and worth the effort. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm in a valley." Good. That means there's a mountaintop experience on the way. Amen. Revelation chapter number 3. I'm going to look at 4 verses of Scripture in Revelation chapter number 3. Quit looking at your watch. I know exactly what time it is. In Alabama, and we're going to go Alabama time this morning, amen? Y'all sang and testified too much, but you ain't cutting into my preaching, amen? No, seriously, I'll mind the time, but I do have a thought that I feel like the Lord would have me share with you this morning. Brother Warren shared a thought with me the other day, and I told him, I said, jot that down and give that to me, and he did, and I began to look at it and pray over it, and the Lord just kind of swelled it up in my head a little bit. And I believe the Lord will help us this morning. Revelation chapter number 3. Now, if you know your Bible even casually, you know the Lord is sending these letters to the churches of Asia Minor. And of course, they are applicable, I can't even say that word, to the church today. Amen? There is nothing in this Bible. It ain't all written to us, but it all is written for us.
Amen.
Amen. I know some churches, they won't preach the Old Testament. Thank God we have the Old Testament. Amen. I understand it wasn't written. I like the book of Hebrews. It wasn't wrote to the book of Happy Valley. It was to the Hebrew. But it is for us. It's for our admonition. It's for our learning. Amen. And we can take application from the Scripture and find help. Amen. In Revelation chapter number 3, I want you to look with me at verse number 8, where Jesus says to the church at Philadelphia, "I know thy works." Stop right there. I know thy works. Everybody's trying to impress somebody. Are you understanding what I'm telling you? We're living in a world, everybody's trying to impress somebody.
Amen.
I thought about, I put on my clothes every day. And, you know, I got to the point now, I'm 48 years old, I don't care if you like it or not.
Amen.
Amen. I remember when I was a boy, I mean, boy, the hair had to be just right, and you had to have the tennis shoes, the right kind of tennis shoes, and had to have the right kind of blue jeans and all that stuff. Man, it don't matter anymore.
Amen.
As long as my hair ain't fell out or turned gray, and my belly ain't hanging over my belt, I'm a happy man, amen? I ain't trying to impress anybody. But the Lord knows your works. Amen. Hey, we can put on a front and we can put on a show, but God really knows your heart. He knows what's really behind what you do. So don't make no bones about it. The Lord knows your works. And he said, here's the word I want to look at today. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." In verse number 9, here's that word again. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." Verse number 11, he said, "Behold, I come quickly." I like that one. I'm going to read that again. He said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." And then in verse number 20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Brother Broderick, won't you stand up right there and pray for me this morning?
Fill us today, Lord, that our cup runneth over, Lord. Just give it our pastor
Amen. Revelation chapter number 3, four times we find that word behold, B-E-H-O-L-D. And at first glance to you and I, when you'd say behold this or behold that, you would just simply think it meant to notice or to look at. Are you right? And that's what you would think. But the word behold is a lot stronger word. I think about one of my favorite uses of the word behold in the Bible. It's when John is baptizing in the River Jordan and he introduces the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And John's down there baptizing his converts and he looks down the road and here comes the one he's been preaching about. Here comes the one he's been waiting for. And old John lifts up his beard with that muddy River Jordan water dripping out of it where he's been baptizing, and he made that famous statement, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I looked up that word behold, and by the way, there's some things we ought to behold this morning. I looked that word behold up in the old Webster's dictionary just early this morning, and it literally means to fix your eyes upon. To fix your eyes upon. Has there anything ever caught your attention in such a way that you could not look away? There are things that will cause your flesh to do that. But if we're saved, there ought to be some things that cause our spirit to do that. To fix your eyes upon. Now, us men, we love old cars. In hot rod cars, I will nearly wreck my truck to catch a 69 Camaro on I-20 just so I can look at it. Amen. I run one down on I-20 between Six Flags and Douglasville one day. Red 69 Camaro convertible. Man, I'm telling you. Oh, God was all over. That's spiritual right there. I run that car down, finally got up beside it. It was a woman, and she thought I was flagging her down. She was waving. I said, honey, it ain't you. It's that car you drive. Amen. Are you listening? There's things that catch our eyes, and we can't look away from. Now, the Lord ought to catch our attention this morning in such a way that we can't look at anything else. Amen. The Hebrew writer said, but we see Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, if you get your eyes full of Him this morning, all your problems would just seem dismal. I'm telling you, if you get your eyes on Him, it'd make your enemies look like ants. I'm telling you, God is bigger than everything combined. Amen. To fix your eyes upon, he said, to see with attention. To see with attention. There's a lot of things that we see, but we don't really see. Amen. Brother Rusty, is your well in the front yard or the backyard? It's in the front yard. So there's no doubt in my mind I'm just going to play off his testimony. No doubt in my mind he drives in that driveway at least once every day, if not two or three times. He drives in that driveway every day. Do you have to pass the well house to get to the big house? Got to go right past that well house to get to the big house. No telling how many times he's walked around that well house with the weed eater. Yeah. Are y'all listening?
Come on, preacher.
He sees that well every day. But when that well dried up, he's really saw that well. Are y'all listening? He's looked at that well with a whole different perception or a whole different attitude, so much the fact that he stood up and how many people you heard get up and testify about their well?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Amen?
Yeah.
Something caused him to look at that water and the value of it a little differently than he did when it was working. Amen. I'm telling you, there ought to be something to cause us to look to Jesus this morning and the value of who He is and the value of what He is. Hey, I'm telling you, you'll recognize He's gone when you get cut off. He said, lastly, the word behold means to observe with care. To observe with care. Four times the Lord used the word behold this morning, and we ought to carefully observe each one of those. We ought to carefully observe each one of those. Listen, we need to look at God in these latter days, and I believe that's where we're living, more seriously than we ever have. Some of you fellas, and I'm with you, man, I love to deer hunt. You more serious about your deer hunting than you are things of God. Some of you are more serious about a game of golf than you are the things of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we ought to get serious. Man, we're living in the Starbucks generation.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, why don't y'all get a coffee shop in the vestibule? Because this is church.
Amen.
I'm smiling. Yeah. It's church. It ain't a coffee shop. You want to get coffee? We'll go get coffee after church.
Amen.
I'm tired of this coffee sipping, popcorn eating crowd.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to take the things of God more seriously than we do a stinking theater. Amen.
Amen.
That ain't got nothing to do with my message. That's just one of my pet peeves. I can't handle that. Amen. I'll never forget several years ago, I was standing in this pulpit right here, and there's a man sitting right about where Brother Charlie Ryder is. Stick your hand up. Sitting right there in church. And I got to notice, and he kept leaning over and putting a bottle to his mouth. He was dipping snuff in church. Don't die on me. I mean, you gotta have Copenhagen. Amen, preacher. Man, we'll have a little more respect for the house of God than that. Amen. This is where our young'uns get saved. We're going to baptize a few next Sunday night. This place ought to mean more to us than drinking coffee and eating popcorn. Amen. And sitting out there sipping on an energy drink. You ain't got no more energy than that. Something's wrong with you. Somebody holler, amen, right there. These kids kill me. I'll never get this message this morning. I'll just get on a soapbox for a little while. Tell me why your kid needs a Red Bull. Ain't never cut grass a day in his life. Only muscles he uses is in his thumb. I need a Red Bull. No, you need your tail whip. We'll get to the preaching in a minute. You just need a good whooping. Amen. Good whooping motivates you. Amen. Save y'all some money. Amen. Quit buying them Red Bulls, get a belt. Hallelujah. Well, I'm running rabbits. They got a little meat on them, though. Amen.
Amen.
I want to look at these four times. We ought to take the things. When God says, behold, and when God says, look here, we ought to take that thing serious.
Yes,
when God steps out on the scene and says, hey, I got something I want you to look at, we ought to seriously look at it.
Yes, sir.
And we ought to look with consideration.
Yep.
We ought to look and say, huh, is that for me?
Yeah.
Well, if he said it to you, I believe it is. But he said, first of all, in verse number 8, he said, behold, I have set before thee an open door. I've set before thee an open door. And he said, no man can shut it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, first thing I want you to behold this morning, God ain't done. God ain't done. We got a lot of Christians acting like God's done, and we'll never see revival again. And there ain't no sense in knocking on doors, and there ain't no sense in witnessing to people. Hey, this thing of old time revival's over. I say it ain't over. If God's still alive, and He is, God is not done. Amen. I don't think God's done around here. I don't think God's done in Villarica. How do you know God's not done? We're still here. Amen.
Yeah.
People walking around wringing their hands like God's done, dead, or doomed, and
yeah.
He ain't nary one.
Amen.
Amen. God's not dead. He's very much alive.
Yes.
Amen. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not.
Right.
He's just as powerful today as He ever was. Hey, He's the same God this morning that saved old Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He hadn't changed one iota. He's still in the saving business. Amen. Three people born again here last Sunday. Somebody ought to holler hallelujah. I'm glad God ain't done. And not only is God not done, He's not done with His church, and He's not done with you. Amen. He set before thee an open door. You know what an open door is? An open door is an opportunity. Let me just say it again. An open door is an opportunity. If you're saved. If you're saved. There ought to be something you're doing for God. If you're saved.
Amen.
There is an opportunity for you somewhere to do something for God.
Amen.
Well, I love the church, but everybody, y'all just got everything covered. You're out of your mind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. People begging for help around here all the time. There's an opportunity. There is an open door.
That's right.
Amen. Now this, I was thinking about old Bob Barker this morning. Y'all remember him?
Amen.
I grew up watching The Price is Right. Anybody with me? Price is Right. Y'all remember door number 1, door number 2, and door number 3? Y'all remember that? Door number one might have a new car behind it. Door number two might be a new living room suit or a Frigidaire. Door number three might have a pig or a goat. A what?
Let's make a deal.
Yeah, let's make a deal. Anyway, I'll get my game show right in a minute. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you had to choose between all these doors, and you might get a pig in the poke, or you might get something good. Listen, when God says, come on down, whatever's behind door number one, or behind door number two, or behind door number three, it's always a good thing. When God gives you an opportunity, it's a good opportunity. Now listen, we got to be careful, because just as sure as God can open a door, so can Satan. Amen. Just because a job opportunity opened up,
come on.
May not be God.
Amen.
If it's leading you away from your church,
amen.
If it's leading you away from your family,
yeah.
If it's leading you in a direction away from God, good indication that ain't God's door.
Amen.
Well, okay, I'm just trying to help somebody this morning. Well, I just prayed and the Lord opened this door. I mean, the devil might have heard you pray too.
Yeah.
Amen. He might use that door as a snare and not a help.
That's right.
A door to trap you. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You listening? But be careful about some of them doors. You better make sure it's God that's opening that door. Amen.
Right.
But he said, I've set before thee an open door. An open door is an opportunity. I'm glad God has given us an opportunity to do something for him in these last days. Amen. Brother Joe, you and I get the opportunity. We get the opportunity. Can you believe that God let the two craziest nuts on the planet of the earth and God opened the door and gave them the privilege to go out there and preach them precious little kids next Sunday? Man, I don't take that lightly. You know what I see that as? That's an open door. That's an open door. Brother Greg said, Brother Eddie, I want you to pray about it, and I want you to come out and preach to the kids one day this month instead of preaching to the big church on Sunday morning. I ain't got to pray about that. Hallelujah, man. I don't get to do that all the time, and it's a blessing when I do. I'm looking forward to it. It is a great opportunity, and I'm going to seize it. Amen. Somebody said, well, what if we have visitors and they came to hear the pastor? What if we had kids that rode the bus for the first time? Are they not a visitor?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
They deserve to hear the preacher much as anybody else does. Amen. But they're going to get to see the preacher in the light most of you won't.
Yeah.
No, I may slide through here. You can't never tell. Amen. That's an opportunity.
Amen.
Do you know the Lord gives windows and doors of opportunity every day of our life? And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, Brother Jason, we're going to see and understand how many opportunities we missed.
Yeah,
that's right.
We're going to see how many opportunities, how many open doors that we slammed in God's face. And when we pray, God, why don't you use me? God, I want to be a blessing. And God, why don't you do this? And I wonder if sometimes God ain't saying, man, I opened this door and you walk by. And I opened that door and you walk by. And I opened that door and you walk by. How many doors have I got to hit give you before you make up your mind that you'll walk through one of them?
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, it's scary and it's the unknown. If God opens a door, it's okay. When God called me to preach, I was scared to death, horrified. Mama said, me too. I'm sure the first time I stood in the pulpit, she was scared to death what might come out of my mouth. I was too. I didn't have a clue. That was a scary thing. It was a scary thing. But I walked through the door by faith. We walk. God doesn't say, now, when you're watching The Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal, whatever it was, Let's Make a Deal. When you're watching Let's Make a Deal, you remember the television audience could see what was behind. But the one that the door was offered to, they didn't know. They was just taking a guess. A lot of times God will give us a door and we don't know what's on the other side. Now, we don't want to operate that way. We want God to lay it all out here for us. Look, if you go through this door, it's going to be like this, like this, like this, like this. You're going to receive this. You're going to get to do this. You're going to, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we want. We want God to open a door and tell us everything about what's on the other side of that door. No, see, that's not faith.
Yeah.
The Bible said the just shall live by faith. You say, well, I ain't never worked on a bus route. That's all right. He'll help you.
Yes,
Amen. I ain't never preached to kids on a church bus. That's all right. He'll help you. I ain't never done this. I've never done that. That's all right. He'll help you. He's a master at it.
Yes, he is.
Amen. All he wants you to do is walk through the door. All he wants you to do is walk through the door. God said, I want you to preach. Well, I've never preached before. I don't know anything about it. I don't want to be a preacher. I really didn't. And God said, just step through the door. Trust me. Just step through the door. It's an opportunity. It's the opportunity of your lifetime. I was thinking about this morning. Had I slammed that door, what would I have missed? I was a licensed plumber, made decent money, had a good job. Lord help William, we had more time off than we had on. We fished 1 or 2 days a week, didn't we, brother? We didn't call in sick, we called in they biting. Amen. We need one of them trips, brother. Amen. This man had a good job. I'd probably done all right, but what would I have missed?
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
What would I have missed? Man, I'm preaching to people I grew up with. Sitting right here in this building this morning that I've got to see saved, that I've got to see baptized, that I've got to see get right with God. Are y'all listening to me? I wouldn't trade that for the Taj Mahal. And I'd have missed that had I bypassed that door. And there's some of you, and I'm getting stuck right here. I may not finish the whole message. But there's a door that God has opened for some of you. But because of anxiety and because of fear and because of inability and inadequacy, you're afraid to step through the door. Hey, I'm telling you, it's always a good thing when God opens the door. I'm just telling you, trust Him by faith and step through that open door.
Amen.
When God offers you an opportunity, listen, man. It may take a little effort on your part. It may even take some sacrifice on your part. But God doesn't just give back. He gives back with interest. I told you the story over and over about the old black preacher. The old black preacher said he took his shovel and he shoveled what he had into the Lord's bin. And then the Lord would take his shovel and shovel what he had back into his bin. Then he'd take his shovel and shovel what he had back in the Lord's bin. And somebody said, wait a minute, all you're doing is moving dirt. He said, no, the Lord's shovel is so much bigger than mine.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, it's been 20 years come next month. 20 years I've been the pastor of this church, and I wouldn't trade a day of it for nothing. Let me say it again, I wouldn't trade a day of it for nothing.
Amen.
The Lord's allowed me to travel all over this country, all over parts of this world and preach the gospel. I've got friends that I would have never known had I not walked through that door. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. I'm glad I got to be a part of your miracle. I'm glad I'm getting to be a part of Anthony's miracle. I'm glad I'm getting to be a part. Hey, what do you mean being a part? Hey, those are my prayers that God has answered. Glad I stepped through that door, and I'm urging you this morning, if God is opening you a door, put one foot in front of the other and seize the opportunity. Listen, man, Brother Terry, we're getting old. And you're older than me, and you always will be. Don't you ever forget it. We're getting old, man. I don't know how many opportunities we have left. I talked to a dear man yesterday. He and his wife have been married 60-something years. What a blessing. I was at Brother Joe Offer. Been married 60-something years. Here's what he said. He said, I still love God, preacher, with all my heart, but I can't do what I used to. Those days are coming. Those days are coming when I'm not able to go and jump on an airplane and fly here, there, and yonder and preach. Those days are coming when I ain't able to get out and knock on doors. Those days are coming when I'm not able to do the things that I do today. But I've got an opportunity now, and I want to seize that opportunity while it's at hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Opportunities come, but opportunities pass if we're not careful. He said, behold, and I know I got to quit. I'm going to give you these others right quick. He said, behold, I've set before thee an open door. In verse number 9, in verse number 9 of chapter number 3, I'll just hit this one real quick. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. He said, behold, I'll make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Number 2, I said, number 1, hey, God's not done. He set before us an open door. By the way, number 2, God's still in charge.
Amen.
It may seem like the devil's running the program, but he's not. God's still in charge. Hey, you watch the news and you listen to talk radio long enough, it'll make you want to commit suicide. I'm telling you, brother, that things don't look good out in the world. But hey, if you look at God this morning, He's still as much God as He's ever been. Hey, the shape of our world is a good sign to us that are saved. Amen. I find it encouraging.
Yes, sir.
I said, man, you're sick. No, I'm serious. It can't be long.
That's right.
That's right.
God's not walking around in heaven drinking Maalox.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
He's not down here at the CVS trying to get his Prozac refilled.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
God's not suffering anxiety and depression.
That's right.
God's not saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm having a panic attack. Y'all bear with me. I don't know if I can handle it. I've had all I can do. I can't do it. You know, God's not worried about one little thing this morning.
Amen.
Not worried one little bit.
That's right.
God's saying, right on time.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right on schedule. I wonder what's next.
Yeah.
I do. I wonder what's next. Oh, I've had people make so many comments about the economy and the political junk. I'm sick. I don't care.
Amen.
You say, well, that's not a good way to be. I know, but I don't care. I'm going to vote. I'm going to do my part as a citizen, but I'm going to trust God, man. I just believe it's... Are you that radical? I'm that radical. I believe that things are going right as God planned it to go. Amen. I believe He puts powers that be where they are.
Yes, sir.
Swallow real hard. I didn't say I had to like it.
That's right.
But I am saying He's still in control.
Amen.
Amen. And He's still fighting for us.
Yes, sir.
We're not on the losing end of this deal. You say, yeah, but preacher, I'm going through such a hard time. No, you're not looking at the big picture. You're looking at the nasty now and now. What about the sweet by and by?
Amen.
Man, I've read the back of the book, brother and sister. We win.
That's right.
Amen. This is all just little piddling stuff on our journey there.
Yeah.
Are you listening? We sung it this morning. I'm on the winning side.
Yes, sir.
I've lost a battle here and there, but we've won the victory.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We've already won. Amen. God is still on the throne. He's in control. If you just take your hand off the wheel and let Him have it, amen. The old country girl sang that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. He ought to have had it all the time.
Amen.
You wouldn't be sliding in the ditch if He'd have been driving to start with. Amen.
Right.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
But we all try to drive it ourselves from time to time, don't we?
Yeah, come on.
Won't you just let Him have it this morning? Right. Say, okay, God, I'm taking my hands off the situation. You know more about my life than I do. God, I want You to take charge. Take charge of my marriage. Take charge of my finances. Take charge of everything. Just let Him be Lord in your life. He's pretty good at it. He's pretty good at it. I used to work for Board of Education. I guess they still do. Y'all still have evaluations every year? I hated that. It's like a report card for grown men. You know, and there's a couple of parts I really hated. But anyway, I wonder if we evaluated God this morning. I believe you'd get straight A's, don't you?
Amen.
He's doing well. He's doing well. He's still fighting for us. And we win this thing in the end. Amen. Remember that? I remember seeing that poster. It was pretty famous back when I was a teenager. You'd see it in school or in office places. Is that little kitty cat hanging on the end of that rope? Or hanging on the limb by one paw that say, hang on, baby, Friday's coming.
Yeah.
Hang on, Christian. He's coming.
Yeah.
Amen. I guess I'll just go ahead and jump to the third point. Verse number 11. He said, behold, I come quickly.
Yes.
Behold, pay attention, look at it, consider it, look at it with, or observe it with great care. Behold, I come quickly. Can I just remind you this morning, the Lord is coming, and He's coming after His church. He's coming after those who are redeemed, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hey, Jesus is coming. Hey, He didn't just say He's coming. He said, I'm coming quickly. Quickly. Now that carries a broader meaning than you might think. Listen, his coming will be swiftly. Like a thief in the night. One second you're here, one nanosecond you ain't. Gone. How about that? I've always dreamed and always prayed I'd be doing a graveside service when the rapture takes place. Committing that old body of a saint of God to the ground. And them old grave diggers are standing there cranking that thing, winding that casket down, all of a sudden, phew! I'm closing my Bible and getting ready because I'm next, amen? Yeah. Hallelujah, I'm just going to go ahead and jump and get a head start, amen? I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, hey, and it will be swiftly, suddenly. Not only will it be swiftly, it'll be suddenly. Well, how can I know exactly when he's coming so I can be ready? Well, I'll just be honest with you, I'll just go ahead and get ready. I'll just go ahead and get ready. Amen, he's give us a few signs. He didn't give us a day. He said, be like the days of Noah.
Yeah, come on.
It'd be like the days of Noah.
Come on, brother.
Men eating and marrying, giving in marriage.
Come on, preacher.
All that stuff, eating, drinking, giving in marriage, all that stuff. I can go back there and study the days of Noah.
Yeah.
I'm live on the radio. I'm going to be careful. Just go study the days of Noah. And then go back and, Lord, just watch the news tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read USA Today tomorrow.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Are y'all all right? We're living in the days of Noah.
You're right.
We're living in the days when people know not God.
That's right.
They have no reverence for him. They have no respect for him. He's no longer allowed in our school system. He's no longer allowed in our judicial system. God has been kicked out of everything. I'm telling you, you better look up.
Amen.
He's coming swiftly. He's coming suddenly. And I believe he's coming soon. You know what I'd do, Brother Atkins, if I wasn't saved? If I wasn't saved, if I wasn't 100% sure I was going to heaven when I died, I'd stop preaching right now.
Yeah
but you're the pastor. I don't give a flip.
That's right.
If I wasn't sure that I was born again, I'd stop preaching right now, get on my face, and I'd get that thing settled. Because there's nothing worth dying and going to hell for.
Right.
It ain't popular today, but nobody wants to preach it today, but people who die without God still go to hell.
That's right.
And they burn forever and ever and ever. There is still a place called hell where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Man, you don't want to die and go to hell. Not when Jesus has made a way that you don't have to. And he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Listen, lastly, and I'm done, in verse number 20. In verse number 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, then open the door, I'll come in to him, and we'll sup with him, and he with me. Listen, lastly, I said number one, God ain't done. I know that's not good English, but he ain't. God ain't done. He's still in charge. He's still on the throne. Number three, he's coming soon. Lastly, and I'm done, there's still time. There's still time. If you're still sucking in and blowing out God's air, there's still time. If you're still horizontal, there's time. Sister, I don't see her. Sister Patricia Freeman. She's probably out in junior church. Her daddy, 79 years old, just a couple weeks ago, some men from the church went by, and that 79-year-old man got that thing said.
Yeah. Amen.
He heard one more time the knock of the Holy Spirit at his heart. Amen. Hey, man, the thing's locked on the inside.
Yeah.
Jesus is on the outside wanting in, and he's not going to kick the door down, and he's not going to force himself on you. But if you'll open the door this morning, he'll come in to you.
Amen.
And so you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. What you're going to find out is love will cover all sin if you'll just open the door and let God in this morning. Can you tell your family for 100% certain that if you die, they can tell that funeral director, they can tell that preacher, hey, you tell my family daddy's mama's in heaven. Because they had a testimony of being saved. You better get that thing settled, man. Amen. If I wasn't sure, you say, well, I thought I was saved a long time ago, but I'm just not sure, and I'll be embarrassed. And oh, man, you ain't got an excuse.
Amen. You're right.
Why don't you throw all that stuff in the garbage and get that thing settled right here today?
Amen.
I don't care if you're a church member. I don't care if you've been baptized 9 times.
Amen.
I wouldn't leave here with doubt in my heart. I'd get that thing settled. Why? He's coming soon.
Yes, sir.
And there's still time. This is another open door. This is another opportunity you have right here today to make that thing right.
That's right.
I'd get her settled today, friend.
Amen.
I'd get her settled right here today. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song. Behold. Look with great attention. Observe with great care. Let's look at the things he asked us to behold. An open door. God's given you an opportunity. God's given you an opportunity. He's given you an opportunity this morning to bring your burdens to him. He said, casting all you care upon him, for he careth for you. He's given you an opportunity to be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's given you an opportunity to confess your sin. Amen. Because he said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He's given you a great opportunity this morning. Don't bypass that open door. He's still God. Let him be in charge. He's coming soon. Don't bypass this great opportunity to trust Christ. There's still time. Let's bow our heads all over the house.
Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. We're just going to give a simple invitation. Ask you a serious, simple, but a serious question. Do you know for certain, no doubt in your mind, Brother Eddie, I can stand here and guarantee you that if you have to preach my funeral tomorrow, you can tell my family with a clear conscience that I'm in heaven because I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it. How about it? Let me see you. God bless you. Hands all over this building. God are settled, preacher. Thank you so much. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you. Wouldn't call your name out publicly. I just want to pray for you. If you couldn't slip up your hand, say, I know for sure I'm saved. If you want to slip up your hand, say, Brother Eddie, I'm not sure. I need to get this thing settled in my heart. Please pray for me. I just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand. Say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Remember me when you pray. I need to get this thing settled. If you can really know, I want to get that thing settled in my heart. Please pray for me. Anybody. Fathers, we come to you this afternoon. Lord, you've seen every hand. God, you know every heart. Lord, help us. Help us, God, not to ignore the open doors you allow in our lives, the opportunities you give us to do something for you. Lord, help us to step by faith through every one. Lord God, help us to realize you're still in control. Lord, that you're coming soon. And Lord, there's still time. Even though the rapture of your church ain't going to be long, I feel in my heart. But Lord, as long as we got breath in our bodies, there's still time, Lord, to do that which you had bid us to do. Lord God, if there's somebody lost, God, there's still time for them to be saved, to know you as their Savior. Lord God, help us not to waste what little time we do have left. Father, have your way in this altar call. We'll thank you. We'll give you glory for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.